Hello, 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 and welcome to the Velvet Studio, where Queer and coming from the capital. And what an exciting show today! I am joined by Sebastian. Mike,
hello.
Just want to jump in the other studio there. Mike Tassel is joining us any moment now as he steps into the studio, and we are joined
I've got
by
a new setup for you.
already we are joined by the chair of Ottawa Capital Pride, Tammy Dobson. How are you doing today?
Thanks, Luke. I'm doing great. Glad to be here again.
Excellent. And it's going to be an exciting show today because, I mean, we're talking about Pride, and Pride is, if anything, fundamental to the GLBT community and the work that we do. So I think that having you on board in this conversation is very, very important. So thank you for joining us.
No worries.
Now, last year
it's been
in...
so darn nice to me. I can't handle it.
It's just beginning.
So a couple of years ago, I mean, the local Ottawa Pride went through a bit of a bumpy situation.
Yeah.
We're going to say situation.
Situation, yes. Okay.
And you helped set up this new Pride. And for disclosure purposes, Sebastian is a member of your board.
Yes.
So that's where he's coming from.
So I'll be relatively quiet this episode.
Yeah. Well, that'll make a
yeah. That'll be a new thing.
Yeah. Although I doubt it quite strongly. You remaining quiet. I mean,
it can happen.
We're expecting at least 15% of sass out of you.
How many times a week do I sneak up on you?
Oh, many times. But that's just because you like to torture me. That has nothing to do with...
For a big guy, I can be really quiet when I want to be.
It's really disturbing. It's rather worrying.
I'm 6'2".
Well, you're tall, but yeah. I don't find you imposing, but that's just me.
Oh.
You two can size up later. That's a different conversation.
Yeah.
So
I'm just going to keep on shaking my head over here.
Hey, it's all about the gay.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. Actually, that is a great way to jump off from. You know, a lot of gay prides get accused of being all about the gay, and specifically all about the gay men. Now, Toronto has a very gay man vibe to it. Montreal, unbelievably, has the gay man vibe. I went there with my partner, Jake, and it was, it was very white, first of all. That's
yeah.
First
fresh.
Thing you notice, you're like, holy mackerel, I'm not a 25-year-old six-pack francophone. I don't know what I'm doing here. So it's so that was quite off-putting.
Nor were you waxed and oiled up.
I was neither. Well, that's what I mean. Not until we got back to the apartment. That's also another story.
Yeah.
So how do you, as you know, as a Ottawa is for all intents and purposes a slightly smaller pride. How do you engage with the homos, the gay men who often have the most money out of the community? The pink dollar exists more there. How do you engage with that community whilst also navigating folks who may not feel as comfortable in that space?
Well, I think when we, and I'm always going to use we because I certainly didn't do this on my own, when we started consulting about what we were going to do in the face of the bankruptcy and the next incarnation, if you will, of the organization that would take care of the festival. You know, historically speaking, the first divide in humanity is the genders. And I looked at that, and it's not written policy anywhere, but I thought that it would make for a more even board. And at the time, it was a naive thing to say that I wanted it to be equal number of female-identified, male-identified, and did not consider non-binary, but certainly would want that voice at the table. But at the time, that was my first concern, to make sure that the genders, as it were equally represented. And that really made a difference, I think, at the table to strive for that and to make sure those voices were both equally heard. And then after that, you know, other diversity was definitely put in the mix. But the first divide... And I think it showed. I think it showed at festival level that there was a lot of engagement for all parts of the community. I don't think I looked at it as a gay man, lesbian thing. I think I looked at it as pride, and maybe that's the difference. And it's unfortunate because I'm not sure that Ottawa has ever had that image of it's a gay man's party. I found that the men's community were very supportive as we were moving forward, I didn't feel for a moment that women weren't welcome at the table or non-binary or genderqueer. I think that it was a pretty equal conversation all the way around.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I thought you were indicating speak there.
No, I had a scratchy nose.
Yeah. actually, given your scratchy nose, I'm going to pick on you anyway because you work with the National Capital Leather Pride.
Yes.
And the leather scene is very male-dominated.
Yes, in the city especially.
Especially in the city, you're absolutely right. You know, how do you think Pride, you know, I mean, do you struggle with engaging with women and other genders? And how do you think Pride shaped up this year?
Well, I think predominantly our focus is mostly not on engaging specific groups, but rather reminding people that it's actually a protest. It's a protest against the inequalities that are exhibited everywhere else
in
society.
Are you talking about Pride or you're talking about Pride?
Pride, yeah.
Okay, cool.
In general, in terms of bringing about the greater inclusivity, it's going to happen if you approach everybody and invite them to come out. They may not come out the first few times, but they'll get used to being asked. And that's, you know, just you have to include them.
Yeah. I'm not in disagreement. I would add on to that, that we, when we were dealing with our communications last year out of the gates and how we were going to approach things, we looked at, or rather the lack of, the definition of pride. And I think pride across Canada is being redefined because the communities that we served 30 years ago are not the same as they are now. So you have to broaden the definition. But we looked at it and we said, what is pride? And pride essentially is a platform. And the platform is for education, celebration, and advocacy. And what happens is when any one of those components become more emphasized than the other, I think that's when you get dissent in communities. And what we're trying to do is make sure all of those components are observed. So, you know, the parade can be seen as a celebration, but if you looked at the messaging within the parade last year, there was a lot of advocacy.
Yeah.
You know, and then
I'd say almost all groups were.
Yeah.
To some degree.
Absolutely. And you want to look at where you've come from and where you have to go at the same time. But if you're just celebrating and not really acknowledging the past, then there's an imbalance. The education thing is where we fell a little bit short, and that was more a matter of resources and time. Mm-hmm. But we definitely are setting up programming this year to address that. The advocacy, celebration, and education, again, trying to get those in balance. We knew we wouldn't get it right or get it completely right out of the gates. But
to be fair, you did an incredible amount of work within the space of 6 months. Mm-hmm. It was unbelievable what you accomplished.
Yeah, it was sort of like moving mountains.
I did an interview with CKXU out in Lethbridge, Alberta yesterday, and they're having a CK Gayu Day with dedicated programming just to the GLBT community. And we had an interesting conversation because Lethbridge, Alberta is a rural, it's a small town. Yes. They were, you know, the last people to introduce trans policies at the schools. And, you know, so I think you're absolutely right. There's definitely areas that even Alberta can celebrate. Alberta has done some major progress in terms of, at the Ministry of Education, I think, was looking at for trans rights. And definitely lots to celebrate out in Alberta. But maybe you're right. Maybe even education there is falling down a little and they need to ramp that up a bit.
Well, there's another aspect of Pride that I don't know if any organization actually makes it explicitly a part of the core of their Pride celebrations and they just sort of accept that it's going to happen. And that is the sort of family picnic side to it where, and I know I've mentioned this before on the air, where like, whenever I go to Toronto Pride, which I don't go to as often now that I live in Ottawa, every time I would walk down Church Street after the parade, guaranteed I would run into 5 or 6 people who I forgot existed, and I was so glad to see them. And it's kind of like it's the big homo Thanksgiving, Christmas, Easter, where you see the family that you haven't seen in forever, and you're like, it's you, my second cousin, and it's the exact same thing. And some prides are better at setting up spaces for that than others.
Mm-hmm. Well, it also depends. Yeah, it's going to draw in a lot of people from a lot of different, I guess you can call it, aspects of the community.
Yeah.
But if somebody is not, well, let's face it, we haven't exactly had a common family type environment in our communities.
Well, chosen family.
Yeah. It's a different aspect if you're including the children that come along with us.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's going to be much harder to create that sustainable environment in the short term because mm-hmm. we're still moving toward that kind of open and equal society.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, definitely including the family or the family orientation, if you will,
yeah,
is probably the most important upcoming issue in Pride celebrations as a whole. But again, a lot of people, especially those of us who are getting past the age of children in our lives,
yeah,
are we're also changing our focus on what we do during a Pride celebration.
Yeah.
So we don't go out for the massive parties.
Yeah.
We do go out to meet the people we haven't seen in 6 to 8 years.
The sort of reunion aspect. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a reunion.
There was a great TED talk in looking at deaf communities, deaf hand hearing. And the whole point about was that, you know, those communities are horizontal. So if you... very often your family isn't deaf. Very often it's yourself. And you create a sense of community mm-hmm. through other folks who are deaf or hard of hearing. And likewise, that's how the gay community works. A lot of our oral histories, our traditions, our sense of camaraderie with other folks, and even our biases are shared horizontally amongst our peer group. Our peer group being other GLBT folks. We're going to be talking about how to engage and tackle some of those barriers between the different elements of our peer group in just a few minutes. But to kind of get you maybe into a bit of a Pride spirit, I opted for a bit of Cher because, I mean, it needed to happen. And this particular one is one from her new album. It's Ooh. Called Take It Like a Man. You can get it on a 12-inch record.
There's nothing subliminal going on here whatsoever.
Yeah. And we'll be back in just a few minutes.
Yeah. Lose it all. I didn't learn how to fly without a heavy fall. I went from A to Z, blew off reality. I take it all in my stride. So if my love is a game, then you should learn the rules. You take it all and you leave and wonder why you lose. It takes a wiser man to figure out my head.
Yeah.
Hello and welcome back to the Velvet Studio, home of Ottawa's queer media. And we are having an exciting conversation today all around about Pride. Now, in the conversation in the break, there was a talk about how certain communities felt that the Leathermen had taken up the schedule, over the community fair. And not the community fair, but the community schedule. And I mean, I will admit there's definitely a lot going on.
Yeah.
Why is that?
I take personal pride in that, actually. I started Leather Pride in 2010 as Mr. Leather Ottawa. And I did things because other people weren't. And I saw that there was a need for more. So to do more, who's going to do it? Well, if nobody else is doing it, I might as well. And mm-hmm. I started, and generally it's a lot of stress, but it's mostly a lot of fun.
Now, Sebastian, I know that you kind of picked up the same mantle.
Yeah.
Not with Leatherman, although yeah. there is a crossover, with the geek community.
Yeah. It was, it's like 4 years ago now, I think, where I wanted to create an alternative space for people who identified as LGBT but didn't feel comfortable in most LGBT spaces. And so I created Geek Out as sort of an alternative space. And I've sort of shared the responsibility with a few other people because I didn't want it to be my thing. I wanted it to be a community thing. So, I mean, I'm the founder, but I'm not necessarily...
Yeah.
I'm not the Mike Tattersall of the geek community.
If there were others willing to step forward, I'd be more than happy to let them
yeah.
the limelight. Yeah. It's not all about me.
Yeah.
Now, we are seeing there's a big spread in The Advocate, actually, in the last couple of days. Check it out online. Talking about the importance of Black Pride. And there's been so much conversation over the last year or so around black bodies and violence against people of color and so on, that mm-hmm. there's a need to have mm-hmm. a representation from that community, especially the people who are sexual and gender minorities within that community. So, I mean, what we're kind of seeing from the Leathermen and the geek community is a sense of taking ownership and building from the ground up. Is this something that is feasible within a city like Ottawa? Are we seeing folks coming together and working alongside Pride to make their own events happen?
We have a lot of people. One of the things we are very proud about this year is that a lot of organizations have come forward and said, look, we want to align ourselves with Pride, Capital Pride. And to distinguish, Capital Pride is the organization that organizes Ottawa Capital Pride Festival. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people have come to us and said, look, you did a great job last year. Some of them were voices that have been out of Pride for a long time. Some of them are new voices altogether organizing and wanting to do something and to work with the momentum that we've created for the festival. And we have been open books to collaborate. Some people have come to us and said, can we do, this event and that event? And we will support anything that, works in alignment with our platform, if you will. As far as, color, a community of color, anybody that would come to us and say, we want to do an event that's specific to that community, we would work with them. The only thing when it comes to Capital Pride is that when we do one of our signature events, it has to be an inclusive event right across the board. Mm-hmm. We don't have events that are for men only, women only. It can't be an event that excludes anyone. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The only time that there is an exclusion, if you will, is when it's in a license event. And then we can't have anyone under the ages of 19. But our signature events have to be mm-hmm. inclusive. Whereas if we partner with somebody that has an event to a specific community, we'll support them mm-hmm. in any way possible, through advertisement or, partnership of something of the sort. Mm-hmm. But that's how we're trying to engage. But it is, to some extent, up to those communities and those organizations to approach us, because sometimes we simply don't know they exist yet.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's not intended ignorance. It's just simply we don't know. And if somebody has a great idea, hey, come see us. We'll talk.
Well, we also Absolutely. Have a lot of that in different aspects of the leather community in different parts around North America. There's a huge event this weekend in Cleveland, and people are always yelling and screaming after the event mm-hmm. that there wasn't this and there wasn't that, and how come I'm feeling ignored? And the response is always, build it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do it. And then when it's successful, you can take pride in it, and you can advertise that you're part of the event.
Well, also, a good organization would take that kind of criticism and say, thank you for your input. We will build that into the future because we are not a fixed entity and we are constantly growing.
Absolutely. Yeah, we are an ongoing work.
The people who do the events don't always have that much more room on their plate.
Yeah.
So to have somebody else come on board is an awesome idea.
Yeah.
So do the business model, you know, write it up, write up the proposal.
Yeah.
Get your support, you know, and then it can happen easier.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We're going to be talking about one of the events. You mentioned one of the barriers to some events being the alcohol one, and we'll talk about that just after our next song. But before we get to that, I'm excited actually by an event that is working to highlight Canadian artists. Now, the Velvet Studio does go out on community, not-for-profit radio, and we are all about promoting Canadian content in as much as we can. I realize that Cher is not Canadian. I apologize for that.
But we like
kicked
her
off with Tegan and Sarah's U-Turn, which is from their new album that's yet to drop. Very excited about that. But, I mean, and they are Canadian. So we're very big on promoting Canadian artists. So this is really exciting to see this coming. Do you want to tell us a bit about that?
About QueerCon?
Yeah.
Okay, QueerCon. So last year, some of the feedback we got is that the queer community does, again, feel a little disenfranchised from the organization and the festival known as Capital Pride. And we have made a lot of effort to try and include everyone. And again, the queer community being a big part of that, they're such a significant part. And so we created QueerCon. Last year, we actually had a queer alt night, which was a night of, I believe it was piercings, clothing swaps. And it was a great night. And clearly, as a result of the attendance of the event, it was, you could see there was a demand.
And vegan tattoos.
Cool. It was pretty awesome stuff. So this year, our festival producer came up with the idea of developing a genre for, you know, working around the genre of comic book and graphic novel creation, and thus making the event known as QueerCon, which is to emphasize our Canadian talent, queer writers and artists invited to participate in a one-day symposium. The details are still being drawn out, but basically it's to promote diverse queer representations in comics, animations, and other great ways to tell their stories. We are going to be having an after event for that, and then again, the details are yet to be worked out, but very excited about it. And we think it's probably an event that's actually going to outgrow the festival at some point. Yes. You know, it's a one day, but judging by the response, which was enormous, we know that it probably, you know, in the future might lead to a, you know, the weekend before and a 2 or 3 day event instead.
That would be awesome.
I think we're really seeing a really emerging scene for like this. There's the makerspace and craft fairs. I mean, we're the generation of Etsy now, and it's like all about your own things.
This is tapping into the fact that I think it's a third of the world's professional webcomic artists, so people who publish comics on the internet, and that is their job. They make a living. They pay the rent doing that. About a third of them are Canadian,
which
is a really disproportionate representation.
It's a huge number, but also I kept on initially, and perhaps a little ahead of myself, I was saying that was the only all-queer comic book convention. I unfortunately, New York City may have beaten us to that. But in Canada, as far as I know, there is no other all-queer comic book convention that will be happening. I think there have been components of that in other comic book conventions, but not one solely and specifically, exclusively limited to.
Certainly not graphic novels. Definitely for comic books, but not graphic novels.
Yeah.
I looked it up.
Thanks, Seb.
Ottawa's queer community is probably one of the strongest in North America. I've been around a lot of North America in the last several years, and everybody who's aware of Ottawa seems to have this pedestal that Ottawa organizations are on, and it's because we do so much so strongly.
And you know what? We heard the voices, and we got a lot of feedback last year, and this is our festival producer's answer to cater to that community much in a much more significant way and engage, especially in the artistic community. And there's you're right, Michael, there's so much talent in this town that's not yet been realized under the umbrella of Capital Pride.
Well, Nelvana Studios used to be centered around here. I don't know if you know who Nelvana Studios are, but the huge Canadian animation industry was largely built out of Ottawa. Yeah. So Nelvana Studios, they did the Raccoons, they did the so Droids much. And the Ewoks cartoons. Yeah. They did a whole bunch of feature-length movies. It was a really big deal. And also something like 3/4 of the Disney classical animators are trained at Sheridan College in Mississauga. Classical animation is basically dead, except for Canadian classical animators.
And we rock the industry.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, we have a lot of talent here for that.
And I think it's really important to really promote Canadian voices and Canadian spaces and kind of really highlight Canadian talent. I think that's, yeah. I mean, the Minister of Heritage is doing a big review about how can we better export Canadian stuff. Mm. And I think taking more pride of Canadian stuff here at home mm-hmm. is very important. Now, this is an awful segue because I'm going to talk about Europe for a minute.
Wow. How did that happen?
Change gears. Now, if there's anything that Canada really would like to be part of when it comes to Europe, it has to be Eurovision.
Oh, yes. Yeah,
this is true. I mean, everyone wants to be a part of Eurovision. In fact, Israel, which isn't in Europe, is a part of Eurovision.
Yeah,
well, there's reasons for that.
The Israeli delegate actually recently had his passport and was ruffled up a bit at Moscow Airport.
But there are a couple Canadians who've won Eurovision.
Yes.
Celine Dion, that was her first big thing. That's so she got internet.
Who sang for France?
Was it? No, I think it was Luxembourg.
Luxembourg, something like that. Yeah.
It was like 67 yeah. or something as well. No.
Okay, how do we get from Pride to Celine and Eurovision? Just help me here for a second. So
I mentioned that because
I'm just going to refocus
it's important
you
to
Celine obsessed men.
So. I'm not obsessed with Celine.
Thanks, no, neither am I. I'm not feeling it.
It's important to mention this because Eurovision is coming up soon. We will be doing a special episode on the Eurovision Song Contest, like we did last year. So we're going to be back just after this. This is Conchita vs. Rise Like a Phoenix, the Austrian submission in 2014. Eurovision has caused scandal again this year with one delegate looking to do their performance nude.
Perfect.
That has
Let
led
them.
To
yeah, I was going to say, have concern. At her.
And Romania was kicked out because they didn't pay their dues. But so that's
well, Romania's got some serious issues.
This is true.
Yeah.
Anyways, we'll be back just after this, and we'll be talking about party culture and the barriers that creates. Just after Conchita Wurst's Rise Like a Phoenix.
Waking in the rubble, walking over glass. Neighbors say we're trouble. Well, that time has passed. Peering from the mirror, no, that isn't me. A stranger getting nearer, who can this person be? You wouldn't know me at all today. From the fading light of you're my flame. Go about your business, act as if you're free. No one could have witnessed what you did to me. Cause you wouldn't know me today. And you have got to see.
Transformed, once I'm reborn.
Hello and welcome back to the Velvet Studio, home of Ottawa's queer media. That was Conchita Wurst and Rise Like a Phoenix, a nice epic song to get the juices going.
I know, I'm feeling very dramatic right now.
It is. I mean, we've had some Cher, drag queen with a beard. I mean, what more can you? What more can you? Rocks. I'm not still talking about Cher. That's. So we were talking about, I made the joke earlier that during the song that we're standing on the back of alcoholics, and I mean it's a terrible, terrible joke. But what I meant by that was I'm going to just say the gay community encapsulates the whole shebang. But the gay community is the rights that we have. Comes from so many folks who really fought for those rights, you know. Mm-hmm. So many people who were fired for being gay. I mean, we have a show coming up in a few weeks talking about the fruit machine and the role that Carleton University played in ousting bureaucrats because they're gay, you know. Mm-hmm. There's so many people who really suffered for that in Canada, in recent living Canadian history. And how do you deal with that? Well, unfortunately, our community dealt with it by leaning on, and in many ways, you know, it's understandable, leaning on alcohol and harder drugs cigarette.
Michael and I are from, a vintage that we can appreciate this conversation vintage. Where, I like vintage, where when we came out, I was coming out in 1983, and most of the people I was meeting were all had huge, they were, you know, drinking, there were drugs, because they were leading dual lives, and that duality.
It's self-medication to make you feel something that's better than the hate.
We could still be fired from our jobs. We could still be beaten in the streets and no one would blink. And we were still relegated to the, you know, back alleys and dangerous neighborhoods to find common spaces to gather. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, it shapes your attitude towards yourself. And there's, you know, an internal homophobia after a while. And how do you reconcile what you are against what society tells you are, and the disrespect and the hate that was there. So, you know, there are people that I know who have been out for decades and are just now going into recovery and dealing with those addictions after years of this. And now, obviously, the world around us the immediate world around us is treating us much differently. But the recovery that is going on in communities, and the sad fact is that we're not supporting those in recovery in our LGBTQ community. And it's... you know, it's leading to my next thing that I want to talk to you about, which is our Fresh Zone. Last year, we did an initiative with CAPSA. And there
CAPSA being...
you're going to make me say it right out loud, right across the board, aren't you? That's fine. It's the Canadian Addictions Peer Support Association. Okay. And they worked with a not-for-profit organization. And they have a strong chapter here in Ottawa. And they worked with us to support their Recovery Ally program. And what they did is they created a thing called a Fresh Zone, which is an alcohol-free area, and it was very fun. Soap suds. Everyone knows about the soap suds. But watching the success of that particular component of the community fair and the entertainment was stunning, because we simply did not give enough space and consideration to it. And I had a friend who met me outside of the beer garden last year, and this was a devastating moment for me, where she was with her two kids, 9 and 11 years old. And she herself, 8 years sober, and she was looking at me and she says, I can't go in the beer garden, not only because her kids weren't of age, but because she was in recovery and this was not a space for her. And I realized that I had utterly failed them in that moment, in considering that when working with the board and, you know, setting out the vision for Pride last year alongside our producer. And it's not a finger pointing exercise. It was simply, we didn't think of this because we really didn't understand nor see the magnitude of the need for that. So this year we're actually, we've created and are having an entire stage and garden area that is for the Fresh Zone that will be alcohol free. It'll have its own little food court and beverage services, and no less scope in entertainment. It's going to be just as big and wonderful as as the beer garden stage. And
probably,
and it's
fewer
for
naked people though.
At certain times of the day, possibly. But there's
fewer,
you know,
smokers, so
sober people like naked people too. But I think that you know, it's going to be for youth, those in recovery, and
also First Nations people.
Yes. Well, and last year we had an incident where we had somebody, a group that was to come drum for us, an Indigenous group that was to drum, and they could not play in the beer garden. It was, again, one of those moments where you just didn't put it together.
Yeah.
And so they couldn't perform. And again, that is going to be addressed this year.
Good.
Like I said, last year was a growing year, and I hope there's a lot of forgiveness for us out there for all the mistakes we made, because we did make them. But
well, part
of
it, on yourself.
We were working on old models because we didn't have much time. Yeah. And the traditional model is you have a big beer garden and you throw the big oily boy party with like the drag queens and the house music, and you take all the profits from that because it's deeply profitable to do that. And then you take that money and then you do other social programming on the side and sort of... I mean, now I actually am speaking of somebody who understands the inside scoop. But trying to move away from that and find an alternative model, it'll take a while.
Yeah, and you know, the fact that families, youth, and those in recovery weren't addressed on a larger scale, and again, I'm not as familiar with all prides across Canada, mostly Toronto, and I can say that this is a niche that is not being addressed and has to be.
Yeah.
More so than ever.
Yeah.
And we, like I said, we're giving a whole other stage to it, funding that. And looking forward to seeing what happens. Details will be revealed in the future, but we're hoping that this is going to bring out the families and make them feel comfortable and provide those safe spaces that people have so long, you know, sought after
Ottawa has the highest number of queer families in Canada as well.
The highest rate of gay adoption.
Wow, I had no idea.
Not only in terms of like proportion of the population, but also in terms of raw numbers. There are more queer families in Ottawa than in Toronto.
It could also be because people move here from Toronto thinking it's a safer environment.
But what I want to touch on is, I think Ottawa Pride is really, I mean, you've got Toronto, and Toronto is a behemoth of I think it's too damn big.
It's the Hollywood of Pride Festival.
Also, bear in mind,
we are an indie film.
Yeah,
because Toronto is the most important city in Canada.
It is the center of the universe.
Quote, the center of the universe. No. The Oily Boy model works for them because
of the sheer volume of population.
The volume. They make enough money that they can turn around and do 100 different small programs for the rest of the community. It works for them there because of the nature of the community. But that model isn't going to work everywhere.
No. I mean, would that model work in St. John, New Brunswick?
Absolutely
not. No, it wouldn't.
But would an event geared more towards, you know, families, youth, folks in recovery, a picnic-style model, at Belleville, 2 hours away from Ottawa, their whole event is a picnic in the park.
Yeah.
That's, they march literally to a picnic. Kingston was
like that, too.
Yeah. 1983, that was Toronto. It was a big, huge picnic behind the 519. Mm-hmm. It was
Ottawa
great.
Was that way as well. Yeah. It was a picnic, which was, you know.
And you know what? What we felt last year and the feedback we got from people who attended the festival is that they felt that that festival was much more a festival.
Yeah.
And much more grassroots than they had seen in years. And that's because we did take it back to the street. We took it, you know, put it in the village. But it was... And I don't know if it was scaled down, but it was much more grounded, I think.
Well, a lot of the comments that I heard, I heard a whole bunch of different comments from a whole bunch of different people. But to summarize it, it kind of worked out to be that it looks like Ottawa is trying to turn into a really good small festival instead of a mediocre large festival.
Yeah.
Instead of being like the disappointing Toronto or the disappointing Montreal, we're the best version possible of Kingston or Belleville.
Yeah, we don't have any size issues here. I'm very content. To do it well over doing
we're
it big.
We're going to jump to Mika's El Madi whilst we, and then after that we'll talk about francophones. Whilst I answer the phone that's on the ring. So we'll be
back getting
just
a call.
After this. Absolutely.
Thank you, listener.
Hey! Une chanson contente, pas une chanson déprimante, une chanson que tout le monde aime. Elle me dit, tu deviendras milliardaire, t'auras de quoi être fier, ne finis pas comme ton père. Elle me dit, ne t'enferme pas dans ta chambre, vas-y, secoue-toi et tente, dis-moi c'est quoi ton problème.
Hello and welcome back. That was, unfortunately, we missed the phone call. How sad is that? Anyway, that was
so much. I mean,
Mika's Elmedi, and I think actually
Elmedi. That's what you were saying.
Am I on?
Elmedi.
Yeah. What do you think I said?
Elmedi.
No, I said Elmedi.
No.
Whatever. Anyway, that was Mika.
It's still a good tune.
With yes. his big hit, use. App that finds name of song the whole point, actually I played that on purpose, and the reason I played that is Ottawa is, I mean, the city of Ottawa is officially not bilingual, it's a English functioning city, but mm-hmm. I mean the city of Ottawa in a broader sense, more holistically, is supposed to be bilingual. So how are you folks engaging actually with francophones?
I don't know, Seb. How are we going? Yes. Well, one of the things that we did get feedback when we were forming as a new organization is that the Francophone voice wasn't there, or mm-hmm. so it was felt. At one time, it was the Ottawa Gatineau organization, and it became solely Ottawa, and that is because it's pretty much funded by Ottawa.
Yeah.
And it's not to say that the Gatineau voice isn't there, because we have two people, you know, who are very representative of Gatineau and the French-speaking community on our board, and they're two people who are Francophone, but we have other people who are bilingual. I, unfortunately, am horribly monolingual, and we all know that. But I didn't get involved in this to originally be the spokesperson, and I apologize for not continuing my French after grade 11. I apologize. But the point is that we are doing everything we can. It's really, and I've said this a number of times in social media, it is a matter of resource.
Mm-hmm.
Translation services are not inexpensive. The people on our board who are fluent in French do have other jobs, other things.
Yeah.
And sometimes they're simply just not available on the fly to translate correctly our media. And translating press releases and even Twitters and stuff like that, you really have to think about the language, and you can't go off of straight proper French all the time when you're saying it. Pardon all the puns.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is that it's resource. That's mm-hmm. really what it is. So we are currently, and feel free, anybody who is in communications, social media, and who is fully bilingual to step up and join operations, because we are still looking for people in operations, especially in and around the communications area. But that's really what it is. And I think that we have been made more of an effort mm-hmm. on our website, in our social media, in our Pride Guide towards French language, say than in recent past, because mm-hmm. I know that it's been there in the past. I would refer more recent past, but we are trying. It's not mm-hmm. that anyone's deliberately trying to leave out the French language or French voices. It's really resources. We can't say that enough. We've had people say, I'll help, but they're never there.
Yeah.
Go in the wind.
We don't know where they went, but they're not there when we need them.
Monday to Friday.
I mention this because we have a show in a couple of weeks around reclaiming words and reclaiming the word twink and the importance of words. And we had a conversation last night, I think, about allosexuel.
Allosexuel, yeah. In French-Canadian culture, as a result of French-Canadian feminism in the 60s and 70s, they reject the notion of reclaimed words.
Huh.
The whole like slut walk movement in Quebec, they would never have anything to do with that. They would name it something different. They're like, you can't call yourself a slut as if that's a good thing, because you can't ignore the history of the word. And so they have a real strong political edge about, like...
Well, reclaiming is about educating people on what the word has always been interpreted as being this, and this. It's
well, reclaiming is a personal thing. So, like, gay men call each other horrible things.
Oh, yeah.
When it's just
that we cannot repeat.
No, yeah. We're not
on daytime TV.
Well, it starts with just
radio.
Yeah. Radio.
But it's understood. You don't talk like that in front of the straights because you don't want them to think that that's okay.
Yeah.
So, like, I call Luke all sorts of horrible things.
He does.
And often we refer to each other in private messages on Facebook.
Oh, yes.
With equally horrible words.
Yeah.
But it's not in the public realm.
Yeah, reclaiming is a private thing. But that's a different conversation.
We actually reclaimed Capital Pride because it was not a good name when we got to it. And we actually had an entire board meeting in and around whether we would actually keep that name or not because there were so many unpleasant associations. And again, I don't ever want to say that the previous organizations, the incarnation of Capital Pride was a bad one. I think there were some phenomenally good people that did some incredible things over three decades. And I think, unfortunately, we were referring to more recent history. And even then, there were some really good people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But there was a lot of dropped communications, a lot of promises that weren't met. And so when we started up again as Capital Pride, we dealt with that ferocity.
Yeah.
We kept on saying New Capital Pride, but people are still holding us responsible for the previous organization. And I think that was one of our biggest burdens. But we decided to keep the name Capital Pride because we felt it was our history.
Yeah.
You're going to love it, warts and all. And we're going to keep on moving forward. So that is, you know, we refer to it in press as our turbulent history. that's a nice word for
it. You mentioned moving forward, and I think it's important that there are now new struggles. Mm-hmm. For example, the Pride in Utah recently decided that they were being sponsored by a porn studio who just released a whole bunch of Mormon-themed porn. And we're talking about Utah. And they said that they don't want... that they can't accept that. I mean, I was going to say get into bed with them, but that's not really their business. But they can't really jump on the same ship with them because the Utah gay community includes gay Mormons.
Yes. Yeah.
So have you come?
Maybe they want to see themselves represented.
Porn
even in
is
porn.
Reality. Reality is porn.
Well, no, I think the point was is that it's a grotesque representation of.
Right, but it's also feeding the fantasies of millions of people around the world.
Yeah. Well.
But what does it do to folks who are Mormon and gay and in Utah and going to a place that that is claiming to be a safe place, a place that celebrates diversity, but also features
I believe
degrading
it may have
porn.
Also had more to do with the political environment there as opposed to the societal environment.
Have you had questions like that? I know that
with our Pride?
Yeah, I know the nudist debate comes up a few times.
Well, you know, and again, Pride is... Pride has a lot of visuals that mostly the media go after and try to say that that's all we are. And and then there's the whole other part of the community that says that is not what we are. But the fact of the matter is we are all of these things.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people who will say, well, I don't relate to that drag queen or I don't relate to that person in leather, that naked person or the butch dyke.
Yeah.
The fact of the matter is all of those people were the ones that were barricading in the bars and Stonewall and setting them on fire. Yeah. It wasn't us. It wasn't those of us who were passing.
It wasn't the accountants.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? We have to honor those people and realize they are the people on the fringe and taking the risks and putting their necks out there to get our rights.
Mm-hmm.
And I respect them utterly and I will never disown them simply because something that they're doing is making me uncomfortable. As long as they're aligned with our message of positivity and around being LGBTQ, I'm good with them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. And as long as they're not breaking the law. There you go.
A lot of the fringe groups are actually more welcoming.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, I've been to some of the like the leather events and the...
Oh,
And they're just like,
the door and it's, hey, come on in.
Yeah, and you're wearing a cardigan and they're like, you're not wearing leather. Like, well, I'm not really a leather man. I'm just here to support you. And they're like, oh, wonderful. Come
cool.
in, you know.
Yeah. Absolutely. And
I'm
you know,
Mr. Cotton Polly on Monday to Friday, but on the weekends, I wear dead cow.
You know, the fact of the matter is I've gone to a number of queer events where I would look like mom to most of the people there, but they don't care.
Yeah.
Whereas if somebody came in looking, say, less than... conservative, we would all turn and stare. And I agree that we're not as accepting as a conservative entity as the queer community would be for anyone.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I admired most and want to make sure that we reach out to those communities because I personally feel that the queer community is the one that's going to carry Pride into the future.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
now,
definitely.
I know that there you mentioned about the turbulent history and there's a lot of confusion out there, including around when Pride is. Now, there are a lot of
Thanks,
Pride.
Luke.
There are. And it does,
that's a nice segue.
And it does vary from time to time. Montreal is the
keep changing their dates. Yeah.
No, they don't. That's
Montreal
the,
has
the amazing,
three times
they
in
changed.
The last decade.
Oh well, that's a decade. I mean, you know, give me some scope here.
It's like Easter; it goes with the moon.
It's Pride this year is the official kickoff day is Monday, August 15th. 15th and leading into the final weekend, which the parade and community fair day is August 21st. That is for this year. Next year, we're going to end up on the week ending in the weekend just before Labor Day. Why? Because 2017 Fierté Canada Pride will be hosted in Montreal and will be taking up 10 days, which knocks us one weekend later. But for this year, it's August 15th to the, August 21st. And there'll be no doubt some events on the weekend before still. But we don't do any official Pride events on the weekend of the 13th, 14th because it would overlap with Montreal Pride.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So,
but that's in 2017.
No, 2016 is 15th to the 21st. But yes, you're right. next
See,
year,
I'm now confused.
These are all the issues why Leather Pride moved out of August.
And no, it makes sense.
Too many events in 3 weeks.
I think we're the last larger city to do Pride in the summertime.
Yeah,
I think.
Montreal and Ottawa are the last. Yeah.
But there are something like 30 to 40 prides across the country. Mm-hmm. Check out your local communities. There are many of them out there.
They start in June.
Absolutely. They start, there's one out in a ski resort in BC that starts in May.
Wow.
And then there's the University Pride Weeks as well.
Yeah. They're usually January, February.
Yeah. For no particular reason. Yeah,
because everyone's there.
Yeah,
it's true. That's a good point. Anyways, thank you so much for joining us today. I really hope that we've covered the topic of Pride. I think we had a great conversation around giving an example to other communities about how they can engage in ways that they may not have thought of, in safe ways, in alcohol-free ways, in ways with they can go to with their families and.
And also a way to showcase better the queer talent in our community.
Yes.
Absolutely. And don't forget, please take ownership, organize amongst yourselves, and really create something. The Velvet Studio has taken that mantra right on board, and we're working with Mercury Lounge and CKCUFM, based out of Carlton in Ottawa, to create our own event during Pride this week. Details to be announced. but we are playing out with Kiesa.
I've heard it pronounced every way.
Just go for it. Yeah.
That go with person, Kiesa.
And then, yeah, Kiesa. And then no enemies. And we'll be back next week. Have a great day.
Thanks, Luke.
Great song.
Bye, everyone.